This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
It's amazing, utterly amazing, my friends. You're not going to believe it. Well, maybe you will believe it. Swifties are buying up tickets to Taylor Swift, the official release party of A Showgirl. And what does that mean? Well, you're going to have to listen to today's program to find out what it means, but let's give you a little taste. It's not just another Friday, it's Taylor Swift Friday. Her 12th studio album, The Life of a Showgirl, hits streaming platforms at midnight, and American offices are feeling it everywhere. 6% of salaried employees said they plan to stay off work today. That's not a small number. With one in three U.S. workers, that's 36%, identifying as Swifties, even a sliver calling out means tens of thousands of empty desk seats. At cubicles and home offices across the country, workers are pressing play instead of answering emails, and others are just dissecting the lyrics. 10% of fans say their companies actually have a dedicated Swiftie channel with chat groups popping up all over the place. It's like the Super Bowl for Swift fans. Last month, when Swift announced her engagement to Kansas City Chiefs tight end Travis Kelce, 22% of the fans said they first heard the news while on the clock at their employers. At least one company gave up and ended the workday early. And so this is said to be Swift's smart moment, the Swift moment. Fans lined up all night in order to get tickets to the official release party of A Showgirl. Non-Swifties may need an extra cup of coffee just to survive the rest of the day. While Swift's empire keeps ballooning, tours, movies, merch, and who knows what else. So today on Viewpoint, we're going to take a look at the seduction of, or the Swift seduction of America and the West. Now, you may not understand quite where we're going with this, but I urge you to stay tuned, friends, because what we're going to talk about today is seeing what is happening with the Taylor Swift phenomenon. It's a phenomenon as related in many respects to laying the foundation emotionally, relationally, and spiritually for the end time massive seduction that will spell a very unpleasant eternal destiny for the majority. You say that might be a step too far, a bridge too far. Well, maybe. No, I'm not accusing Taylor Swift of being the Antichrist. But what I will say pretty clearly is that her entire movement is Antichrist. Now, I'm not speaking in a personal way. I'm saying that her lyrics, her songs, and all of that are not calculated to bring any measure of holiness or righteousness or truth that matters, but rather just the opposite. It's all about currying the lust of the flesh and the lust of life, maybe the pride of life, but also currying a kind of favor that causes people to flood overwhelmingly to that which is not consistent with the will, the word, and the will of God. Will, word, and ways of God. Just not consistent. Radically inconsistent. So what does it mean? Would you be interested in some of the numbers that we're talking about here? The Church of Taylor Swift, with all of its small groups all over the world, yes, they call them chat groups, small groups all over the world, is the largest, shall we say, denomination of religious fervor in the world today, other than perhaps Roman Catholicism. Are you listening? What is it that causes such a vast number of people to so easily and quickly be seduced into that realm that is continually inconsistent with the word, will, and ways of God? How many of these Swifties, the followers of Taylor Swift, how many of them are professing Christians? And how in the world can they rationalize and justify such a allegiance to Taylor Swift and what she stands for? And yet, as of September 2025, her verified Instagram account had over 282 million followers. That's the Instagram account. 53% of U.S. adults identify as Swift fans. Nearly 8 in 10 of her self-identified fans, called Swifties, buy or stream her music. She is a globally top-streamed artist on platforms like Spotify, indicating a vast audience for her music. Her Eras Tour, the last one alone, sold millions of tickets, showcasing the massive demand for in-person experiences. But what was it that they were experiencing? Were they experiencing anything that would have glorified God? No, nothing. Not one thing. Just the opposite. And yet, if 53% of U.S. adults identify as Swift fans, that's telling us there are huge numbers of professing Christians in that number. How is that possible? And what are the implications? If we could analogize to what the Bible says is going to happen in the end of the age, the very times we're in, the latter days of the end times, what does the Bible say is going to happen? It says that deception is going to be the number one description of these times. Jesus himself said so. Right there on the Mount of Olives, 2 days before his crucifixion, his disciples came to him and asked him what would be the sign of his coming and of the end of the age. And the very first thing that Jesus said in response was, "Take heed that no man deceive you." How about a woman? And how about the spirit of what is taking place that is so alluring to such a vast number of people that it becomes virtually a religious enterprise, a quasi-religious enterprise, let's put it that way. Yes, it's inured to Taylor Swift's benefit to the tune of $1.6 billion so far. But that's not what we're talking about. It's not about the money. It's about the spirit. It's about what is it that is drawing people like flies to become the largest quasi-religious organization in the world.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Crismire, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
What are we inculcating in our children, in our daughters, our sons? I dare say that the majority, and I have not researched this, but I dare say that by far the majority of the Swifties are female. So, are the females more likely to be seduced into this kind of ungodly idolization of that which is totally contrary to the word, will, and ways of God, to the very spirit of the gospel, to the very spirit of Christ, to the very spirit of holiness, where the scripture says that without holiness, no man will ever see the Lord. I'm trying to put this in as clear terms as I possibly can. It's not so much to rail on Taylor Swift. That's not where we're coming from here. She represents something. She is a symbol of something far bigger. She is a symbol of how easily masses of people are able and willing to be seduced. She's a symbol. She's a symbol of how easily and willingly masses of people, even Christians, are willing to be seduced. What is it that's drawing? What is the drawing? Well, you have to ask yourself, what is it in your own mind and heart, if you happen to be a fan, or if you know of anybody that is, maybe a daughter, maybe a granddaughter, maybe you yourself, who knows? You probably have friends that are Swifties out there, or maybe they don't want to admit it, but they're actually fans. What is it that is the drawing card? Well, certainly it's not righteous music. It's not holy music. It's just the opposite. Everything in it is calculated to be ungodly, to be all about the lordship of feelings rather than anything related to biblical truth, righteous relationships, righteous marriage relationships, righteous relationships between men and women who are courting or whatever. It's just the opposite, isn't it? Just the opposite. So what's the drawing card? What is it in the mind and heart of the listener to Taylor Swift that causes them to be drawn with such passion, more passion by far than any passion for Jesus Christ? They would rather be called Swifties than Christians, I think. What is this? This is a phenomenon, friends, that is characteristic of the end of the age. You may think that that's a stretch too far, and I don't think so. But we know in the book of Daniel that there's going to be a counterfeit Christ figure who is going through flattery and all kinds of wonderful things appearing to people to draw untold millions, in fact, billions of people in the latter time of world history. You say, well, that's all about politics and about that kind of thing. Well, no, it's about the willingness of men and women and their hearts to be willing to identify with someone who represents something contrary to the word, will, and ways of God for their own personal selfish benefit. That's where the problem lies. It's the self, the exaltation of the self. Now, what is it that we are told by the Apostle Paul in his letter to Timothy? Remember that? He had a ministry cohort, trainee, that he then trusted to go throughout the then-known world and represent him even when he was in prison. Well, he wrote a letter to Timothy in the book called 2 Timothy chapter 3. He said this, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." Now, we can accept that. We know that there are perilous times out there. We hear it politically. We hear it in so many different ways. Jesus himself said that men's hearts would fail them for fear for the things that are coming upon the earth. So we know that. But the question, though, hovering over our minds and hearts is, how is it that we can be seduced? because Jesus warned about massive deception. It would be the number one characteristic of the end times. In fact, he said in Matthew chapter 24 that many would come in his name and deceive many. Well, certainly Taylor Swift is not coming in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. She's coming in her own name, or perhaps in the name of someone else whose spirit she represents, but it isn't Jesus. It's something contrary to Jesus, something contrary to the word, will, and ways of God. So what is it consistent with then? If it's contrary to the word, will, and ways of God, in whole or in part, then it must be consistent with and embracing another spirit. What spirit would that be? I'm going to let you answer that. So, Paul goes on to say that in the last days, perilous times shall come. We're in the last days. They began on the day of Pentecost 2,000 years ago. In 2030, just 4.5 years from now, we will have achieved 2,000 years since the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, 2030. We're in the latter portion, of the last days. Now, we're in not in that final portion, the very small portion called the Day of the Lord, where Jesus himself comes to judge the earth in righteousness and to pour out his wrath upon the children of disobedience. We're not in that point right now. We're in a small transition point, however long it is. It's been in process for some time now, the latter portion of the last days. We're approaching the end of that zone. And so the intensity is increasing of the characteristics that are described as taking place in that period of time. So here they are. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. All right? What is one of the most characteristic words of our times? Certainly, in the cultural realm, people go out to take pictures, and what kind of pictures are they wanting to take? Pictures of you? No. Selfies. Many people are willing to risk their very lives to get an unusual selfie. How many people have died because they were willing to risk their life in unusual circumstances to try to get a classic selfie? So it's not about you, and it's not about others. It's about myself. Interestingly, about 20 years ago, I was leaving the Chicago O'Hare Airport and noticed a massive billboard along the side of the roadway. And here's what it said. Me, me, me. That's all it said. Me, me, me. Well, I had remembered that we were in the me generation, but that billboard accentuated the situation and said, no, it's much more than that. It's the me, me, me generation. And it's all about me. A massive global selfie, particularly in the Western world and in America. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. And that's what Taylor Swift induces in her listeners. Self and selfishness and feelings all about themselves. It's not about loving others. It's not about love itself, actually. It's about the distortion and failure of love. Men should be covetous. In other words, wanting what somebody else has. That's what the Swifties are. They are longing to be what they're wannabe Taylor Swifts. Covetous. They want to be like her. They're not wanting to follow after Jesus Christ. They're not wanting to follow after the Apostle Paul who said, follow me as I follow Christ. They're wanting to follow Taylor Swift. They're Swifties. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. many, many, many of the followers, Generation Z and millennials of Taylor Swift, that's her primary drawing card, by the way, in terms of demographics, are actually disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, carrying an entitlement mentality everywhere they go. The sociologists call them failure to launch because they're still living at home, depending upon mom and dad, but not obeying mom and dad, having disrespect, no honor, unholy, without natural affection, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. What do you think is the ultimate drawing card for Taylor Swift? Lovers of pleasure. She draws her listeners, her Swifties, into a womb of selfishness, selfies, lovers of themselves, lovers of sexual pleasure, or hoped for sexual pleasure, because they suspect that she has it. Now, you may think, well, you know, I don't like to hear that because I thought she was pretty good. Pretty good on what basis? How are you evaluating Taylor Swift? On what foundation? Because she's popular? Because she makes a lot of money? Because she draws a lot of people to her concerts? Because she sells a lot of music? On what basis are any of those things qualifications for a Christian following someone? Maybe just the opposite. Now, here's the problem. And on this program, we kind of are known a bit for throwing a curveball to get the attention. See, we've laid a foundation now, but how about applying this in the church world? How is it mega churches are formed? What is the drawing card? Be real careful when you answer that. In many respects, the drawing card is similar to Taylor Swift. No, they're not giving a message usually of sexual promiscuity and all of that kind of thing, but they're giving a message that's largely touchy-feely. They're not bringing a message of conviction because they know that's not going to sell well, and it's not going to help them build up a big church and bring in a lot of money to have big buildings. So they give a message that they think is likely, most likely to draw the largest crowd. That's what's happened. That's what's happened ever since the church growth movement began in Pasadena, California, where I practiced law for 20 years, right there in the early 1970s. It was the guy that built the Crystal Cathedral, the guy that preached the Hour of Power on television, that gave Swifty messages. You say, well, what do you mean Swifty messages? I'm not talking that he preached sexual promiscuity or that he had preached that kind of thing. I'm talking about how he appealed to people. He appealed to them on a selfie basis, not a Kingdom of God basis. Would you like to know actually what he said? We'll be right back after this, and I'll share it with you.
There is so much more about Chuck Chrismeyer and Save America Ministries
on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, saveus.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, saveus.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at saveus.org.
Welcome back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Chrismeyer. I told you that I would share with you the message of the builder of the Crystal Cathedral, who also had the regular television program, Hour of Power. Here's what he said. He wrote a book declaring this message. It was all about emotions. It was all about feelings. It was all about gaining good feelings about yourself. It wasn't about sin. It wasn't about salvation. Because he said, Dr. Robert Schuller said this. He said, to tell people that they are sinners is abuse. The very thing that God does through his word, saying that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, he said, no, that's not the right message of the gospel. He said, if you do that, you're actually abusing the people. He said, what they need is more self-esteem. In other words, they need a deeper image of themselves. In other words, like the bumper sticker that came out of the 1970s, screw guilt. In other words, don't make people feel guilty. Don't let the Holy Spirit get a hold of the Word of God and bring conviction into their hearts so that they can repent of sin. No, that's not going to grow your church. You got to tell them what they want to hear. You don't like Burger King, got to give the people what they want. Have it your way. So that's what they did. So the great Hour of Power instigator became the discipler of hundreds of thousands of pastors all across America and the Western world. Two of them became two of the most prominent pastors with massive groups, Swifties-like, Swifty followers. And they became the biggest names in the evangelical world. Some of the biggest names. Neither one of them is pastoring today. But two of them, you see, were the disciples of Dr. Robert Schuller. And you think about Bill Hybels, for instance, there in Chicago. And the tremendous movement that he began under the mentoring of Dr. Robert Schuller to tell the people what they wanted to hear. By the time, about 15 years after that had begun, they did a study in their own congregation and those that followed them, Willow Creek, the Willow Creek movement, to find out what the status of Christian discipleship was. The results were devastating. They were embarrassing beyond embarrassment. They had not been building disciples. They had been building selfies. People that were addicted to themselves. They didn't know hardly the first thing about the kingdom of God. And this, they had built a virtual empire. This is what we've been dealing with, friends. It's not just Taylor Swift. It's the spirit of what Taylor Swift is doing. It's the same spirit that has prevailed throughout the Western world, and particularly emanating in America, that began in Southern California, the very place where I practiced law for 20 years. Fuller Seminary was just about 2 miles away from my law office. My law office was right across the street from one of the most prominent churches in the area, an evangelical church, whose many of whose leaders were Fuller Seminary professors. I know exactly what took place. Been there, done that. Knew many of the individuals on the inside. This is the problem that we're facing, friends. Now, let me put it in other terms. What we're dealing with here is the propensity to be deceived. No person is ever deceived against their will. No one. No one is ever seduced against their will. There is always a will, a latent will in each of us. That's the sin nature, a latent will to be deceived or seduced. So, understanding this and understanding the terrifying grip that this was having on God's people, I wrote a book called Seduction of the Saints, How to Stay Pure in a World of Deception. Seduction of the Saints, How to Stay Pure in a World of Deception. You see, all the warnings of Scripture are not to the unbelievers. They're condemned already, Jesus said in John chapter 3. The warnings of Scripture are to professing believers. They're God's warmest audience, but as Jesus said, if the light that is in you be darkness, then how great is that darkness? And we just don't seem to know how to put the Scriptures together in a way that they speak to us where we really are. We want to hear what we want to hear. We want to hear a little bit more of the life of a showgirl. We want to hear a little bit more about a great pastor who has a church of 20,000 people that can get our attention. No, what God's interested in is not the size of your church. He's interested in how serious your disciples are, if any. That's what God's interested in. Because if it was just the opposite, then Jesus was a total failure. When Jesus went to the cross, he had not one single follower following him. He had no Swifties. None. Even his own disciples fled. Even Peter denied him 3 times. So Jesus said, I'll build my church. He didn't say we should build churches. He said he was going to build his church. What we're supposed to do is make disciples. In other words, we're supposed to teach people to obey everything that God has commanded. That's the Great Commission. Matthew chapter 28. But we weren't interested in the Great Commission, so we've committed the Great Omission by trying to build churches instead of making disciples. And that's why the word obey has become a four-letter word in the church and is the most hated word, generally speaking, in the church today. We don't want to obey nobody for nothing. We just want to do what we want to do, whatever makes us feel better. We're a bunch of religious Swifties. But we want to be identified as a Christian, sort of. But we're still going to go to join with the Swifties. The cult of Taylor Swift. That's where our real affections lie. I urge you to get a copy of the book, Seduction of the Saints, How to Stay Pure in a World of Deception. We haven't talked about Taylor Swift in this book at all. In fact, when you start to read the book, you're going to find out that it really speaks to your heart. in so many, 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 many different ways that you never conceived of, that God would be trying to get our attention, because we've fallen so far away. We've drifted so far away. We've lost the anchor of our soul to the truth. And we're seeking things like Taylor Swifties. We're seeking things that pander to our feelings while claiming to be people of faith. It's massive deception. The book. It's an $18 book, yours for $15. Probably the best $15 you'll ever spend, because it's a transforming book. Oh, it's informing, but the major purpose of it is transformation. God never called us to be informed, but rather to be transformed, and that by the renewing of our souls, that we might, our minds, that we might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So if you're a Swiftie, you're not interested in renewing your soul. You're not interested in renewing your mind. You can't be, because your mind is split. You're a double-minded, double-hearted person. That's the problem. We've already been seduced. And if 53% of American adults admit to being Swifties, at least in their minds, whether or not they're part of the ultimate Swiftie small group movement, can you see the grip that the spirit of a counterfeit Christ has on us already? Get a copy of the book. It's going to help you so much. People have said it's the most practical book, Christian book they've ever read other than the Bible. Seduction of the Saints, $15, will put it in your hands. It's on our website, saveus.org, saveus.org. Give us a call at 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Writing a check at $6 for postage and handling. By the way, I want to thank the few of our listeners who have been responsive to our plea over the past several weeks concerning the need for more serious donations, contributions to the ministry. There are several who have responded, and we're very, very grateful. I recognize what you've done, and I'm so grateful. So desperately needed. These are tough times, friends. And when you're dealing with the Swiftie spirit, even among Christians, you know, a lot of those people are not very interested in willingness to give and support a ministry that's trying to bring course correction to prepare us for the coming of the Lord. See, we're preparing the way for history's final hour. So I urge you to become a partner. You can do that by going to the website, saveus.org. You can call us at 1-800-SAVE-USA. You can write to us. You can go to the website and sign up to be a monthly giver. And we'll be right back.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for a greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, "I'll build my church." Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, "Behold how they love one another." Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
She's been known as a outright, outspoken, wokeism liberal, Taylor Swift. Yeah, so she's had massive political influence. If you were to go to Wikipedia, you know, that great source of wisdom and truth, and look for Taylor Swift, there's an entire section called Political Impact of Taylor Swift. She's been praised and criticized by all sides of the political spectrum. So in many respects, in some respects, I actually give her credit for not coming out and endorsing certain people and fighting certain things. On the other hand, she's made it very plain that she is a political liberal and a cultural liberal and a spiritual rebel in that she embraces and promotes ungodly sexuality. And that, by the way, is her major calling card. That's why people are fascinated to her. She gets their emotions, especially women's emotions. Forbes magazine called her the most influential musician in the political sphere. But that really isn't the issue. You can do all the analysis that you want to do. But when push comes to shove, the real situation is that she is drawing people for ungodly motivations and reasons. That's why she is building what you might call the Church of Swifties. Very similar to what happened with Oprah Winfrey. Articles came out for 8 to 10 years concerning Oprah Winfrey and what she was doing through her television so-called ministry. And she was leading people astray, actually ending up purposely discipling them into New Age spirituality. That's what she did. So they called it the Church of Oprah, or the Winfrey Church. She even devoted $5 billion. I think it was $5 billion. Maybe it was $5 million. $5 million in order to carry on a discipling program to encourage her Swifty followers, the Oprahites, which were almost all women, to encourage them to follow her into New Age spirituality, which again was all about feelings. Now, lest you should think that I'm going too far in that regard, Oprah Winfrey went into one of the largest churches in America in Atlanta. No, in Texas, Houston. And she sat in the front row, and after Dr. Smiley finished his message, she expressed such thrill how good she felt about the message, that there was no conviction, that there was no real preachment, nothing about change, just make people feel better. And that's how the man built his church. That's not how his father built the church. That's how he's built the church to the numbers that he has, just like Taylor Swift. It's the same thing. He's just not preaching sexual promiscuity per se. So, Swifties are the devoted fans of American singer-songwriter Taylor Swift, known for her high level of community and participation. Swifties are regarded as one of the largest and most devoted fan bases. We can call that like a church, making a significant cultural impact on both the music industry and popular culture. In other words, having more impact than the churches, the true churches of Jesus Christ. It's about the message, friends. So, what did the Apostle Paul tell Timothy about this? He said, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, which would have made Oprah very unhappy with Dr. Smiley down there in Houston. For the time will come where they will not endure or put up with sound doctrine, but after their own lusts or desires shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, in other words, telling them what they want to hear. And they're going to turn away their ears from the truth. Now, this is what the Bible really says about our times. It's a diagnosis. And so what we're seeing here, and it really caught my attention when I saw the headline, 6% of workers skip work today as Taylor Swift drops her new album. And a third, 36% of U.S. workers identified as Swifties. 36%. Do you have any idea how many people this is? And across the world, people are saying somewhere around 280 million. Maybe it's a lot more. Those are just the Swifties. Those are just the real true disciples or followers. How about those on the fringes? How about those that say they like or drawn to Taylor Swift but aren't the more fanatic of the fans? In other words, they're not the evangelists of the Swiftie church. But they're still coming once in a while for the show. So, in the spiritual arena, we find ourselves at the moment of truth in the valley of decision, at many, many spiritual intersections where our decisions, our proclivities, whether small or great, direct our destiny, our viewpoints. And there are 9 points that I lay out in the book, Seduction of the Saints, that give broad areas in which our thinking, our minds, our attitudes, and our thinking become the centerpiece for the deception and seduction that Jesus warned about, that the disciples all warned about. And here they are. Our desires versus God's desires. Our desires versus God's desires. Our appetites versus God's ordinance or God's commands. Our fears versus godly faith. Our happiness versus God's holiness. Our pleasure versus God's purity. Our comfort versus God's call. Our purposes versus God's purposes. Our ways versus God's ways. Trusting man versus trusting God. Now, if you were to take those 9 things and test the loyalty of Swifties or your own proclivity toward Taylor Swift and her ministry to your emotions, which is what it is, where would you fall? Would any of those points be a fulcrum over which you would have to really have a conversation with the Lord or yourself? I dare say probably on almost all of them. Because she's a messenger of unrighteousness and the spirit of unrighteousness, unholiness. And without holiness, no man will even see the Lord, right? That's what the Bible says right there in Hebrews chapter 12. So, get a copy of the book, Seduction of the Saints, How to Stay Pure in a World of Deception. This is written specifically to help us be strong in times like these. These are those times the Apostle Paul wrote about. These are the times that Jesus wrote about. These are the times that James wrote about, and John, and Peter. So, do we believe that or not? And if we do, it's going to require change in our own lives that we and God can believe in. So, this book is a helpful tool to accomplish that. Seduction of the Saints, How to Stay Pure in a World of Deception. An $18 book, yours for $15, on the website saveus.org. Saveus.org. Give us a call, 1-800-SAVE-USA. Write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Writing a check, add $6 for postage and handling. Now, I want to direct your attention very quickly to the book of Thessalonians. Again, the Apostle Paul is writing, and even though the book of Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians are very short books, they pack a wallop in many respects. So here is what Paul wrote about concerning the very kind of situation that we're facing here today, the discussion that we're facing today. He's talking about the wicked one that will be revealed, referring to the counterfeit Christ, the Antichrist, and the spirit that is against Christ in the end times. And it says, even he whose coming is after the working of Satan. In other words, he's motivated and drawn and empowered by Satan with all kinds of power and signs and lying wonders, things that grab people's attention like Taylor Swift. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. In other words, we prefer this other message. We prefer being a fan of Taylor Swift than we do a true fan and disciple of Jesus Christ. Or we want to have it both ways. You can't have it both ways, friends. The line is cut very seriously. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all the other things are to be added unto you. You can't straddle the fence. And for this cause, Paul writes, God shall send them, who is them, those that are drawn away by all the kind of wonders and things that are being done that draw their affections. For this cause, God shall send them strong delusions that they should believe a lie. In other words, they're going to embrace a counterfeit solution to their problems. One that makes them feel good for the moment. That they might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. You cannot be a fan of Taylor Swift and not take pleasure in unrighteousness, because it's all about unrighteousness. The very foundation of it all is unrighteousness. That's the drawing card, and it's wrapped in a nice little warm, cuddly blanket that for women particularly draws them into the net like flies into a trap. It's just unbelievable. Think about these things, my friends. This is not intended to be a diatribe against a person. We're talking here about a spirit. We're talking about this being a symbol of what is happening in our world, both in the church and out, to draw people's affections away from being true followers of Jesus Christ, walking in purity and holiness and righteousness, prepared for the Lord's coming. Whoever has that hope in him will purify himself, even as Christ is pure, said the Apostle John. Thanks for joining us here on Viewpoint today. Get a copy of Seduction of the States right there on our website. Get a whole bunch of copies. Give it out to your friends, Romans, and countrymen, including your pastor. Lord bless you and keep you, and be faithful on what may.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismier. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.